Genesis 31. We're going to be looking at another message. We've talked about this topic a couple of times in recent days, but on decision making. And we find here Jacob was making some important decisions again. But you look through the Bible and we find that Joseph decided to remain pure rather than to yield to lust. Back in Genesis chapter 39, we find also that Joshua decided to serve the Lord instead of serving the false gods over in the end of the book of Joshua. Ruth decided to leave Moab and go become a Jew and proselyte into the Jewish faith. Daniel decided to pray rather than to fear the lion's den. And in the New Testament, the apostles decided to preach rather than to quit, as they were told to quit. There's decisions all the time, and these are just a few of the Bible decisions that I picked out to kind of get us thinking on that line. But you know, all of us are facing decisions on a regular basis, and some of them are big decisions, some of them are smaller decisions, but it may be this decision as to how we're going to serve God with our life, or what kind of an occupation we're going to have, or who we're going to marry, or where we're going to, should I buy a home, or where we're going to live, or training of our children, or even separation standards, or our entertainment, or our giving. All of those things are decisions that we have to make. And those are important things that we need to deal with. And in our context here tonight, Jacob too had some decisions to make. And remember, Jacob was now up in Haran. You look at our map here, he was up in Haran. He was with his father-in-law, Laban, who was his mother's brother. And he was working for him. He'd been working for him now for 20 years. He worked 7 years for Rachel. He worked 7 years for Rachel again, I guess. He didn't really want to buy Leah, but he had worked another 7 years because he got tricked. So he spent 14 years working for his wives to pay off his dowry. And then he worked another 6 years to get the animals that God would provide for him. And so God was taking care of him up there in Haran. But this is 20 years. And now he had to make a decision. He felt like, you know, things are not going so well. We need to leave here. And I think we need to go home. We see in verse number 1 of chapter 31 of Genesis, it says, "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." All right, now, so Jacob's, Laban's sons would be his cousins. And they were saying, you know, Jacob has taken away all of our father's stuff. Now, remember how God had worked all that. Remember last time we looked at how God was causing the animals to breed that were spotted and speckled and brown. And Laban here, he keeps changing his wages. We're going to see that as we dig our way into this tonight. He changed his wages 10 different times because all of them started having spotted ones. And so he says, all right, forget it. No more spotted ones. We'll have all the striped ones. And then they all started doing striped ones. And then he says, no, we can't do that. And then just change it to something else. And he kept changing them back and forth. And God kept changing which animals would breed and which ones would be strong. And God was doing that. So Jacob's flocks were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the strong and healthy ones and Laban's were getting scrawnier and scrawnier, and they weren't producing very well. And Laban wasn't very happy about all that, but he kept trying to turn it his way, but God didn't work that way with him. Because remember, Laban, though he believed, I think, in God, he was not a very godly man. He was not a very godly man. And yet Jacob was trusting in God, and God was taking care of him. Now, Jacob needs to make a decision. In verse number 2, it says, And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as it was before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, all right, now here God speaks to Jacob. The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Jump down to verse number 11, where Jacob now is telling the same thing that he just heard from God, and he gives more details, and he says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream. All right, so apparently back in verse 3, an angel of the Lord spoke to Jacob and told him what God wanted him to do. And now Jacob's retelling that story to his wives. And he says in verse 11 again, it says in Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he said, Verse 12, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams that leap upon the cattle are ring-strengthed and speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest to vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. All right, so God gives him some very specific directions. And Jacob hears this, and he's hearing this from God. Now, as we look at this, Jacob's going to be making some decisions. All right? Now, as we examine his situation here, I find three different actions that he took in making those decisions. The first one is this. He listened carefully to God. He listened carefully to God. God had told him specifically, this is what I want you to do. Now, we could say, well, you know, wouldn't that be great if God just spoke to me and told me exactly what I'm supposed to do and then I'd know exactly what God wants me to do? Well, we can look at it that way, but you think about it. How many times in Jacob's life did God actually speak to him one-on-one? Not very many. And every day we can pick up this book and let God speak to us through the Word. We have got a greater privilege than they did. And actually, Peter mentions this over in the book of 2 Peter. At the end of in 2 Peter chapter 1, he mentions the fact that he had been there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Christ in His glory and all of that amazing things that he saw there. And he said in verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Right, he says, we have a more sure word than me being up on that mountain, seeing the glory of God, seeing all those wonderful things with my own eyes and hearing the voice from heaven I heard and saw. But he says, we have a more sure word right here in the Scriptures. And that's an important thing for us to remember. God can direct us through this book, and He wants to direct us through this book. And we need to spend time with Him. So Jacob here, he communed with God about this decision, and God was directing him and guiding him and made it clear to him. He says, I want you to return and go back home. I want you to go back home. And so he had clear directions from God. Now, when we need directions from God, the thing for us to do is to go to this book. You know, in this book, we've got 31,102 verses in this book. And they are there to guide us. Now, God uses those verses there for our direction. We can get insight and direction from God. And we need to be careful we don't twist them out of context. We need to read them in context. It's just, you know, that's important. But there's direction in these words. And God can direct us and guide us if we'll spend time with Him in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 24 says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. God's testimonies are my delight and my counselors. We see over in Psalm 119, 105, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It'll lighten the road for us and show us the way to go. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So it's entering into this book will give us light. It'll give us understanding. It'll give us direction. And God wants us to seek His word. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23, we sing this in one of our songs. The commandments of the commandment is a lamp and a law of is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Word of God is our guide. It's our direction. It'll give us God's mind in our decisions that we need to make. So we need to spend quality time in the Bible, but we also need to spend quality time on our knees. We need to spend time with the Lord and talking to the Lord about our needs and our burdens. You know, when I think about praying about major decisions, one of the thoughts that comes immediately to my mind almost every time is that time when Joshua was leading the nation. They had just moved into Canaan. They had conquered Jericho. They had conquered Ai. And they're just starting to spread out and make some of their other conquering ventures. And then the Gibeonites put on their old clothes and their old rags and their old, you know, old food. And they come and they tell them, oh, we come from a long ways away. And we want to make a league with you. And what happens here? We read there in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They took all their food and said, look at this food, this is old, this is, you know, their bread was dry and crusty. Oh boy, these guys came from a long way. And they didn't ask God, and they got tricked because they didn't spend time with God in prayer. And we need to make sure that we continually spend time with the Lord and ask Him for His guidance. Psalm 32 and verse number 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God says, I want to guide you, I'll instruct you, but we need to spend time with God. Over in James chapter 1, verse 5, that familiar verse, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it breedeth not, and it shall be given him. So God says, we need to ask Him, and He will give us. And so we spend time with God, and ask Him, and say, God, what do you want? You know, to guide you, God uses the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit's still small voice, and also, many times He uses the things that we hear in sermons that can be helped to us. And I think back over my life, and I remember back before Melody and I were married, that God used a verse in the book of Proverbs to guide me as I was praying over our summer ministry. And I thought, Lord, I really need to get a job and work. I got a school bill to pay off. I don't have any money. And this job was working in a camp as a counselor. I was going to make almost nothing. And I thought, Lord, how am I going to pay my school bill? And I spent time in prayer and searching the Scripture. And then God gave me a verse in Proverbs, just a verse that I quoted this morning, Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And I said, all right, Lord, that does it. I'll go. And I went and I had a great summer. I was able to lead several boys to the Lord. We had a great summer at camp. And the Lord provided abundantly for my school bill. And that was the year that my old car, it was still a pretty decent car, but it was parked. I was back at school and, you know, I still didn't have money for my school bill completely. I still needed some money. And the car was parked. I took it across town to a ball game that some of the guys at school were playing. And it was parked along the side of the road, and somebody came and hit it while it was parked. And smashed it in the back and shoved it into a car in front, so I got smashed on both ends. But it was still drivable. It was just all crunched in on both ends. And the insurance guy came out. It wasn't my fault. Insurance guy came out, and he looked at it and said, I tell you what. He says, we're going to write the car off as a total loss, but I'll let you keep it. We're going to give you $700. I said, okay, good. So I took the $700, took a big hammer and smashed out, bent the car back into shape a little bit, drove it for several more years, and had my $700. And I praise the Lord for that. I mean, God does great things for us. And so God, you know, He provided, because that year I had told Him, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And He led me, and I followed His word. So He led me through the Scriptures. Another time when, and I think Melody would say the same thing, is we were in Bible college and we were praying in our own hearts. We hadn't even met each other yet, but praying in our own hearts as to what God would have for us to do. And missionaries would come to the Bible college and speak. And twice there was missionaries that came from Papua New Guinea and spoke and told about their work. And God really kind of challenged my heart. I thought, you know, that's really, I'm burdened about that. You know, I'm a farm boy, kind of a backwards simpleton, and, you know, and working in Papua New Guinea would be just great. It'd be suit me fine. And I began praying about that, and then I met Melody, and she was already praying about Papua New Guinea or Africa, and then the Lord brought us together. But, you know, but God used sermons to do that. And then also, you know, the Scriptures can, and God's peace can guide us, and the Holy Spirit can use the Scriptures, and He can use the peace of God in our hearts to direct us. And I've told you different times about how, you know, my first date with Mel. And, you know, after our first date, I went back to the dorm that night and said, you know, I told my friends, I said, follow my wife. Follow my wife. Because I knew, I mean, God gave me peace, that she was the one for me. And it was through the peace of God and the Scriptures and the guidance that the Lord does that. And down through the years, God has guided Mel and me over and over again through the Bible, through the Spirit of God, a little small voice in our hearts, and through the sermons. And over and again, God has done this. And God will do that for you. If He can do that for us, He can certainly do that for you. God wants to direct and guide us. But we need to just We need to spend time with God. And then we need to seek counsel as well. Jacob here, as soon as he finds out this message from God, look at verse number 4. He had just talked to God. And then verse 4 says, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field under the flocks. All right, so he calls his wives. He says, come here, well, I got to talk to you. And he tells them the whole story. Verse number 5, and he said unto them, I see your father's countenance that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring-straked shall be thy hire, then they bear all the cattle ring-straked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at that time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, that the rams leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked and speckled and grizzled. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes. And we read these verses here just a moment ago. And then down to verse number 14. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted to him as strangers? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father and that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. All right, now what was Jacob doing? He was seeking the counsel of his wives. I mean, God had just told him, Jacob, it's time for you to pull up your stakes and go. You need to go back home. And so the first thing he does, the very first thing, he calls his wives and says, all right, here's what God said to me. What do you think? And they said, we agree. Let's go. All right? And so he gets counsel from them. Seeking counsel is a wise thing as long as we seek it from godly people. That is a prudent thing to do. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We must not reject counsel. And if we do, well, we're being foolish. God says we need that counsel. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draweth it out. What's that verse mean? Like deep water. I believe it's talking about a deep well. You know, in those days they had these deep holes in the ground. They let their bucket way down deep, and they draw that water way back up. It's a lot of hard work to get that water out of that well. But he says that hard work is just like trying to draw counsel out of a wise man. You sit down with him and you just start picking at his brain and asking him questions and listening, and you're letting down that thing and you're drawing out the water and you're trying to get his wisdom. And he says it takes effort and work, but he says it's worth it and it's very important. Now, I make a big emphasis on this because really the most important part of making a decision is being confident that you know God is in direct leading in this. All right. Once you know God has led me, once Jacob said it, I know what God told me. God told me I was to leave. And he knew that, and his wives understood it, and they said, yes, let's go. Once he had that settled in his heart, then it was a done deal. He said, we're going to do it. We're going to do what God asked us to do. But it has to be settled in his mind. Why? Because he was going to face some opposition. And same thing is true with us. Many times we'll make a decision. Maybe you make a decision you're going to serve God in a certain way. And you're determined that that's what God wants you to do. You're going to face some opposition. You make a decision to start tithing. You're going to face opposition. You make a decision to do something else for God. And God, you're going to find things are going to go against you and things are going to be hard. And that's why James said in that verse we read just a few moments ago in James 1:5, that if we can lack wisdom, we can ask of God. He follows it up in verse number 6 and 7. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said, you need to have a stable faith, not one that's up today and down tomorrow and up today and down tomorrow. And, you know, he says, that's not going to work. You need to be stable. And we need to have a solid foundation there. It's important for that. Sometimes finding God's mind is as simple as obeying clear scriptures. You know, you may be saying, well, I just need to know what God wants. And if something is very clearly laid out in the Bible, and just read that and say, oh, yeah, I guess that's what I got to do. That's what God said I need to do. I need to do it. Other times, it's going to take hours of study and prayer and spending time and seeking counsel and saying, God, what do I do? This is an important decision. I need your wise wisdom in this, Lord. I need to know what to do. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, those verses we're memorizing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. So we need to come to God and say, God, I need to know your mind. And God says, I'll direct your path if you'll come to me and ask. And so, number one, we need to listen carefully to God. But number two, we need to obey God completely. Jacob here, he talks to his wife, so they settle it, and notice the next verse, verse number 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all of his goods, which he had gotten in the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten and paid in Aram, for to go to Isaac his father to the land of Canaan. All right, so he immediately does what God says to do. He packs things up, he heads off, he's getting ready to take off, and he obeyed God quickly and quietly. And there's a reason for that. Deep down in his heart, he knew Laban wasn't going to be very happy. And, you know, when God reveals his will to us, we need to step out by faith and obey God and do what he asks us to do. It doesn't really matter what other people think. As long as we know this is what God wants me to do. And if we know that that's what God wants us to do, then we need to just not worry about what other people think or what they're going to, their opinion might be of that. But we need to make sure we understand what God wants. That, you know, there's a verse there in Romans that says that if we're in doubt, we need to not do something. We talked about that on Wednesday nights a few weeks back. And so if we're still in question, does God really want me to do this? Do I have really peace about this? Then we need to wait until we get the peace. But once we've got that settled, and that's why I really emphasized that at the start, once we got it settled, God wants me to do this, then we just need to proceed and head into what God has asked us to do. Stepping out by faith is maybe exciting, or it may be fearful. It may be a fearful thing. You know, we must lean on God and not on our own understanding. That's why Solomon said that in Proverbs, to lean on God instead of our own understanding. So it takes faith in God. And following God's leading is what we need to do. Jacob here, he headed to the land of Canaan. All right, so you look at the map again. He's up in Haran. He's headed down to the land of Canaan. Now, picture yourself. You're a farmer. He's got lots of sheep. They call them cattle. Cattle are all the sheep and the goats. I don't know how many other, I don't know whether he had any cows, but he had probably had camels and sheep and goats and things of that nature. What is the first obstacle you can see that he's going to face when he leaves Haran to head south? Nope. Not the first one. Generally. Nope, not the first one. All right, take a look at the scriptures. The Bible tells us here. All right, so let's take a look at here. Verse number 20. And Jacob, or sorry, not verse 20. Verse 21. So he fled with all that he had and rose up and passed over the river. That's the key word. He passed over the river. What river? The Euphrates River. That was not any small task. I mean, if you cross the river by yourself, we're not talking about coming up to a great big huge four-lane bridge over the Euphrates. There probably wasn't any bridges over the Euphrates at that point. So he had to ford the water or get ferries or something to cross that water. It was not going to be easy. He had hundreds, probably thousands of cattle with him and his family. He had, you know, all these little kids and all these things. How was he going to cross? That was no small task. That's why God puts it in here that he went over the river. That is a significant thing. And in the whole time he's in a hurry because he's fearful that Laban's going to find out. Laban's going to come chasing him. And Laban did. But he crosses over the river. That's an important. He crosses over the Euphrates River there. You might even put in your Bible in the notes there where it says river, put Euphrates River over that. That's a big thing. It was not a dinky little creek. It was a big river that he had to cross. And so it was a major event. And we see there that not only does he cross that, then he goes southward toward Israel. Now, as he comes down to the south, he stops in Mount Gilead. All right, there's a bit of a debate over where exactly that is, but most people agree that it was probably on the east side of Galilee, just a little bit south. The Jabbok River, comes in just about that area, just below, just not quite halfway down across here, and Jabbok River comes in, and it was above the Jabbok River. All right, so it was up in that area somewhere. All right, and so it was in that area that he comes, and he's traveled all that way. All right, and he got down there. I mean, he was almost down to that place in 7 days. I mean, he must have been really hoofing it along to get down there that fast. I don't know how he could possibly get down there that fast. But we find that Laban chased him for 7 days to get there. All right, so I guess I should say 10 days there, because Three days, Laban hadn't heard about it, so there's 3 days that passed, and then he chases him for 7 days, so there would have been 10 days, but still, that's a long way to travel in 10 days. Alright? So he's moving right along, he's fearful, he knows that Laban's not gonna be happy, he's making great speed to get down there, and this is a difficult task. It wasn't just him and his, you know, wife on a camel. They had all these kids and all this property and all the stuff, everything they had and all the property and all the animals. So it was a big task. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17 says that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. I preached on this in the youth activity a year or so ago about the staying on the highway. And, you know, we need to obey God and we need to stay on the highway. The highway is the place that's avoiding all of the detours and all the places that'll get us out of the way. And, you know, Jacob here, he goes on a straight line. He says, we're heading south. We're going down to Canaan. We're heading where we're supposed to go. He crosses the river and he makes it straight down there to his homeland. And he stayed on the way. But, you know, in our situations, we need to stay on the highway. We need to do what God wants us to do. Not get distracted, not get pulled aside, but to just stay where God wants us to be. So he obeyed God completely. Number three. We find here that he trusted God unwaveringly. He was prepared for opposition. No question about that. We see down in verse number 25, and Laban, well, let's look up at verse number 23. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after. All right, so in verse 22, and it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in Mount Gilead. Right? And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed what thou speakest, that thou speak not to Jacob either bad, or good or bad. All right, now that was a fearful thing for old Laban. Here, Laban, now he's not a young man. He's Jacob's mother's brother. All right, so he would be at least 20, 30 years older than him. All right? And Jacob's not a young little guy now either. He was 40 when he fled. He's been up there 20 years, so he's 60 now. So Laban would be at least 80. All right? And Laban's not happy. He goes and pursues after him. And then Laban gets this dream. All right, now you ask yourself some questions. And here's some things. You know, God hasn't put all these details in the scriptures. But I just use your spiritual imagination. All right? What's taking place during this time? You can imagine as Jacob's fleeing with his family. If it was you that was fleeing with your family, knowing that Laban was probably going to chase you, knowing that you had all these obstacles in front of you, what would you do? You would be praying. And Jacob, I'm sure, was praying every day, God, please help us to get to Canaan before he catches us. Keep us safe. Keep us protected. God, we need your help. And now Laban finds out. He takes off after him. He's almost ready to catch up with him. And what does God do? God says, all right, we're going to send Laban a dream. And he sends Laban this very distinct dream and says, Laban, don't you say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Watch what you say. And Laban took that very seriously. Because we see down in verse number 25, he says, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Interesting there, he calls him the God of his father, not God of my father. Laban doesn't seem to be very God-fearing, but he took that seriously. When God gave him that dream, he sat up and listened. He paid attention to that, and he heeded that. He did not harm Jacob. But he questions Jacob. He goes on in verse number 30, and now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? All right, so Jacob didn't know, but Rachel, his sweet, beautiful sweetheart, had stolen some of her father's gods. See, there's a lot of paganism still stuck in them. All right, they're not all angels up there, that's for sure. All right, and so she stole his gods, didn't tell anybody. Jacob didn't know it. And Jacob answers in verse 31, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. All right, so it almost sounds like he says, I stole the gods because I was afraid, but he's answering the first question first. All right, so don't get confused with that. He says, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. And with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel has stolen them. All right, so Jacob said, listen, as far as your gods go, if you find those gods, you just kill that person because we didn't take your gods. Well, he didn't know that Rachel took them, or he wouldn't have said that. All right? And so Jacob is afraid. He said, I fled because I was afraid, because I knew that if I ask you, he had asked Laban before, can I want to leave? And Laban said, oh, no, come on, let's make a deal. And he says, you can get some of the cattle if you stay and work for me. And he's trying to work deals with him. And he didn't want him to leave. And he didn't want the wives to leave. And so Jacob's scared about this. And so that's why he says, I took off without telling you. You know, though God does not tell us, I believe that Jacob was spending a lot of time praying about this. And God intervened. And God gave this fearful dream to Laban. And God took care of that. Now, we need to keep praying that God will lead us step by step in our lives. You know, once God's given us some direction, said, this is what I want you to do, all right, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be opposition, we need to keep on praying and say, God, you help me to walk with you. And ask God to strengthen you and to defend you as need be. That verse we've been memorizing, Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. We need to trust God. We need to depend upon God. We need to call upon God. We need to look to Him. And then Psalm 25, 4 and 5, another couple of great verses. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He says, I want you to teach me. I want you to guide me. So we need to seek God's help and ask God for that direction and leadership we need. You know, if the devil cannot stop you from doing God's will, he will seek to hinder you in some other way. He'll seek to hinder you to go astray, try to get you to go astray. The devil is our enemy. And we know that to be true. But it is so, so powerful as you study the scriptures and you see this, how the devil is out there to get us. And what did James tell us in chapter 4, verse 7? He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We need to resist him and trust in God and depend upon God. And then we need to wear that armor that God gives us. There in James, or in Ephesians 6:10, he says that we're to depend on the Lord. But then in the very next verse, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to put on that armor of God. And what is the armor of God? Well, he goes through and explains all those different pieces of righteousness and peace and faith and our helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and all those things that we need to put on. Basically, what that is just trusting God to take care of me and meet my needs. And we need to put that on so when the devil attacks us, he's not going to defeat us. And how did Jacob respond to all this? Well, Jacob just courageously presents the facts. He just lays out the facts before him. And he tells him, you know, this is what it is. Verse number 36, and Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. And he goes on and he talks about all the hard work that he did. But for sake of time, we'll skip all that for right now. But again, in verse 21 or 41, he says, "Thus have I been with thee 20 years in thy house, and I served thee for 14 years for thy 2 daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac have been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight." So Jacob here just very clearly presents the facts and says, this is the facts. You know, you've cheated me, you've been trying to rob me, you've been trying to take things away from me, and God has defended me. You know, when someone is trying to discourage us and get us to get off track, we need to follow our decision and not be led astray. With God's help, we just need to say, no, here's the facts. You know, God has directed me through His Word. I've got peace, and this is what God wants me to do. This is what I'm supposed to do, and God's Holy Spirit has given me peace about this, and I'm going to just do what God wants me to do, and we just need to present the facts. The devil's going to try to get us discouraged. He's going to try to get us off track. We need to stay on track and say, no, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. So whatever those decisions may be, you know, there's all kinds of decisions. But once God has given us peace, this is what I want you to do. We need to keep our focus. We need to stay put. We're not going to give in. We're going to stand firm. We'll speak the facts clearly and not let the fear of man become a snare to us. We need to stay true and faithful to what God wants us to do. And if you may not be making this decision right now, but if you're not making a decision right now, you will be. Won't take long. Life is full of decisions. And when we do, we need to remember these three things that Jacob took, these three actions that Jacob took when he made this decision to listen to God carefully. Number 2, obey God completely. Number 3, trust God unwaveringly. And if we'll do that, God will direct us and bless us.